Evening, how is everybody? I think coming together to do the Lord's Supper on the night that Christ did it, the Last Supper, and instituted he did the last Passover, performed the last Passover, and instituted the Last Supper on the night that he did it, just as he said, do this in remembrance of me. You know, we do it from time to time, but when you do it on the night that he did it, you do it in remembrance of me. And in fact, it'd be a time like this, as the sun was going down. You know, it was still be considered Thursday until the next morning. But for the Jews in Judea, it would be the beginning of a new day. If you take that piece of paper that I passed out, if you would rise for the reading of God's Word. And again, I took this from John MacArthur's book, One Perfect Life. And it's kind of took all the verses and put them together to try and get the whole totality of what's going on. And obviously there it comes from Matthew, Mark, Luke, and where Paul did the Lord's Supper in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. But the name of my sermon is called The New Covenant. And as they were eating, he took the cup and gave thanks and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes. And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. Likewise, he also took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he had given it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. And they drank, and they all drank from it. And he said to them, this cup is the new covenant in my blood, which is shed for many in the remission of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. Assuredly, I say to you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now until that day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom. Let's pray. Dear Lord, as we come together in remembrance of your Son, Lord, and the sacrifice that he would give on behalf of wicked and vile sinners such as I, Lord. And we just come together, remember his death, Lord, remember his sacrifice. But also more importantly, remember your love for us, Lord, that you would sacrifice your own Son, Lord, for us, Lord. When we are so undeserving of it. And even as believers, Lord, that there's times where we truly realize as believers, when we read God's Word and we come closer to you, how undeserving we are of your grace. And Lord, I ask, Lord, that as you prepare our hearts, Lord, and our minds, Lord, to the receiving of your Word, that we're able to come together as a church in unity, Lord. And Lord, I just ask, Lord, that there's one here that doesn't know Christ as the Lord and Savior, Lord, that today is their day of salvation, Lord, that you begin to work in their hearts, Lord. And Lord, for the believer here, Lord, that's struggling, maybe with assurance, or maybe that there's some unconfessed sin, Lord, that before he taketh this cup and this bread, Lord, that he confess that sin, Lord, to you, that he comes to the table and does it, defame it, Lord. In Christ's name we pray. And for your glory and for your glory alone. Amen. Like I said, it was Thursday night in the upper room in Jerusalem. It's Passover night. And Jesus is holding this last and most precious Passover that will bring in a new era. He will bring in the new covenant. They were going from the old covenant into the new covenant. And Jesus and his disciples, most of them were Galileans, and they clock time differently. They clock it from sunrise to sunrise. And actually, you think about it in creation, it's shown in there that each day, a 24-hour day, is from sunrise to sunrise. You know, it's before a clock, it was before a sundial. You didn't need it. You know, it was sun up to sundown. It constituted a day. But also, this would make it possible for Christ Jesus to celebrate this last Passover with his beloved disciples, except obviously for the son of perdition, Judas, because he was going to be the Lamb of God on Friday. The righteous one, who would now be betrayed and murdered by his own, and he'd be condemned by the Romans. He will end the sacrificial system that has been perpetuated since God created or performed the first sacrifice in the Garden of Eden, when Adam and Eve conducted the first sin, the first recorded human sin. And tonight, Christ Jesus will institute tonight the Lord's Supper. And it's called the Lord's Supper in God's Word. There will be an end to the old covenant and the institution of the new covenant and the ratification of the new covenant with his blood. Because blood had to be used to ratify, to seal covenants during that time. And he would take the blood of the perfect lamb to seal this new covenant. John Ku John, in his book Biblical Theology, states, God will no longer execute the covenant lawsuit against his covenant people because the mediator of the new covenant has been cursed and slaughtered as a lamb on the cross on behalf of God's elect. Jesus dismissed Judas right before conducting the first communion, right before conducting the Last Supper. Do not miss that. Don't miss it. He dismissed Judas before he started the Lord's Supper. He dismissed him for him to go betray him. This demonstrates that the Lord's Supper is not for unbelievers. It is only for believers. It is those that are Christ. It's his elect. Those that he has chosen. Just as he has chose those 12 disciples, in a sense, he chose Judas because he was the son of perdition. He was the one that was going to betray him. It was on God's timetable. It wasn't on Judas's. It wasn't on Sanhedrin. It wasn't on the Romans. It was on God's timetable. There in the upper room, Christ Jesus has those chosen by him, his elect, just as we are his elect. He chose us before the foundation of the world, not because of some decision you made. He looked forward. God is not a time traveler. It is not like he saw Jesus. Oh, look, my son's going to die on the cross. No. No. It was a predetermined plan to die for your sins. And he says that this supper is given for you. It is for you. He told them that it's given for you. Judas wasn't chosen. Jesus called him a devil. If you're here today and you don't know Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, today is your day of salvation. If you hear my voice on this recording, today is your day of salvation. You are not promised tomorrow. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. You know, Jesus at the table, he was sitting there, he was the head of the table, and he was giving the bread and the wine out himself. He gave them the bread and he told them, this is given for you. The bread of life is given out, the bread and the wine, to those whom he has chosen himself, those that he's about to die for. In Luke 22:15, Jesus tells the disciples in the upper room, I have earnestly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. You know, he's acting as the head of the table, as he's the head of the church. Jesus was fulfilling the law by conducting this last Passover. Because he is a Passover. He is the Sabbath. He is our rest. And Jesus was being obedient to the Father because the Father had commanded the Passover be observed every year. And that can be found in Exodus 12, verses 43 to 51. And the Passover was the remembrance of how Yahweh saved the lives of Israel's firstborn sons and firstborn of their livestock while judgment was executed on Egypt's firstborn son and firstborn livestock. And it was judgment. He executed judgment on them for Egypt killing his firstborn sons of Israel. And God used a Passover also to separate Israel from Egypt right before the Exodus. He split them. And Peter and John got the lamb. They took it to the temple because only two people were supposed to take it. Not everybody could go. You think about it. It would be crowded there. It would be chaos. So only two people could go to the temple and take this lamb to the priest to be sacrificed for that family. And the Lord in Exodus 12:2 In verse 6, he tells us the lamb was to be kept from the 10th of Nisan to the 14th of Nisan. Meaning that lamb, it was supposed to stay with the family for 4 days. Think about that. This lamb that they're going to slaughter and throw its blood up on the altar stayed with the family for 4 days. Imagine your children and you becoming attached to this precious, innocent lamb that wasn't even a year old. This lamb could come from the sheep or the goats, but it spent 4 days with the family. They grew an attachment to it. They probably grew a love for it. That lamb was supposed to be without blemish, without spot. It was to be perfect. And this foreshadowed a relationship with the sacrifice and remembering the innocence of this precious, innocent lamb that was about to be slaughtered on our behalf or your behalf or that family's behalf. The lamb was supposed to be perfect as the Lamb of God was perfect. So you may wonder, did the disciples have a lamb with them? Did they carry it around or something? Did they have a lamb with them in Bethany when Jesus was anointed by Mary as the king of the Jews? Before he rode into Jerusalem on a colt and anointed him for his burial? Did they have a lamb there in the house? The disciples did have a lamb with them. They did have a lamb with them. In fact, they had a lamb with them for 3 years. They developed a relationship with Christ Jesus. They grew to love him. They loved him so much. In fact, what did Jesus say about Mary, Martha, and Lazarus? He loved them. And the disciples loved him, except for Judas grew to hate him because he knew that the gravy train was over with. He knew that the kingdom of God was just ridiculous in his eyes. And he dismissed him before he was about to do the Lord's Supper. The disciples grew to love this lamb. The disciples grew to love this Lamb of God that was about to pour out his blood on the altar called the cross, restoring fellowship between God and his creation. The disciples, the 11, not the 12, because the son of perdition had already left to betray Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. And think about it. That nard that Mary had broke, that expensive nard that had to come from the Himalayas, a year's worth, some figure $23,000 today. He sold Jesus for 30 pieces, which was well less than a year's worth of pay. That's what you call depravity. Selling the Son of God for 30 pieces of silver to betray him for what? And he even said, I betrayed innocent blood. You know, why did the demons tremble around him? Think about it. Why? Are they scared of him? Maybe. It's because they're convicted of their sin. That's what it is. They're convicted. They fear him because they know where they belong. They don't want to go back to hell, but they are one day. These 11, they'd eat the Passover meal with the one that less than 24 hours would become the Lamb of God, God's Lamb. Jesus took the bread, blessed it, broke the bread, and gave it to the disciples and said, take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Then he took the cup, blessed it, gave it to them, and told them, drink from it, all of you. Notice that Jesus, he's the one that gives out the bread. He's the one that gives out the wine. It comes from him because he is the source of eternal life. He is the rock that the Jews drank from after Moses struck the rock, which life-saving temporal water came out from the rock and saved their lives temporarily. It saved their lives there in the desert. You know, if Moses knew what he was doing, he probably wouldn't have struck that rock because the rock was Christ. It foreshadowed his death here about on the cross. Because he is the living water. He is the fountain. He is the source of eternal water. Jesus said, do this in remembrance of me. Paul in 1 Corinthians 11:25 says, do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. We are to look back to the cross. We are to remember the sacrifice the Son of God made on Calvary for sinners such as us. As we conduct the Lord's Supper, we symbolize the death that Jesus Christ, as we take the bread and we take it in within ourselves and we drink the wine, remembering the cup of God's wrath, that the shed blood that sealed the new covenant for us. We remember His death for us. As we take the Lord's Supper, we proclaim the Lord's death until He comes back. And as we do this in remembrance of our Lord and Savior, we remember and affirm His love for us. Since we can participate in the Lord's Supper, we remember that He has invited us to come dine with Him. As we dine with Him now in His presence, as His Spirit lives within you, He dines with us. As we come together as one, as unity, as a church, He dines with us here today. Tonight, remember Christ's love for us, for me. As wretched as I am, still, as do this in remembrance of me, we remember and affirm our faith in Christ. As we take this bread and wine, we are proclaiming, I need you. I need you every single day. I need your grace every single day. I need you to come within me, Lord. Become one with me. Thank you for the forgiveness of my sins. Thank you for my salvation that you provided for me. We remember that our sins, your sins, my sins, nailed into the cross. We remember that our sins were part of the shameful murder of Christ. As we do this in remembrance of Him, we look forward to the future. Because that's what the Lord's Supper is also about. Looking to the future. Because He said, I will not drink of the fruit of the wine until the new kingdom, right? Till He comes back. Till He comes back. We look forward to the future where we will dine with Him, where we don't have to worry about sin no longer. Amen? We look to the future. We look to the future. And we get to dine with Him one day and spend eternity with Him in heaven. You know, if Mr. Bill and Brother Jason, Brother Bill, come up and pass out, you know, while you're sitting there, take time to pray before the Lord. If there's anything on your heart that you need to ask the Lord for forgiveness, go ahead and do so now. Thank you. That's fine. You go ahead and separate it and just bring, before I read this, just take a second and think about his body that was broken for you. But you know, none of his bones were broken, but his body was broken for you at the same time. Almost kind of like a little paradox in a way, but think about his body that was given for you, the death that he took. And as you take this bread in, you take him in, and he becomes one with you. Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Before I read the next verse, let's take a moment and think about the blood that was shed for you. The blood that was shed to seal the new covenant, because he died for you when he chose you before the foundation of the world. He said, "Do this in the same way." Also, he took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Becky, if you want to, you go ahead and just read a hymn, 366, and we'll close in prayer.
Reconcile back to yourself and your son. We just thank you for it. for all that you Christ did for you.
Are not Barabbas or Jesus the one called Christ?
Those are your little tragic
things. I mean, you would think the common sense would be. No problem.
Oh, we're here. I'm here. I know that. You were